We had a prayer set yesterday, just a two-hour prayer set, and I sat here on the floor for most of the time, and as I sat there just seeking the face of the Lord, he laid this message in my heart. And so I'd like to share with you this morning a message entitled, A Comfortable Distance. A Comfortable Distance. All of us as human beings, we like comfort. Would you not say? If you just right now, just think back to your bed right now. What's on top of your bed? A comforter. Nobody likes discomfort. Nobody likes to be uncomfortable. But there are times in our life that we should be comfortable and that there's nothing wrong with being comfortable. But we have to understand there are also times in our lives that we cannot be comfortable. I'll give you an example. If you have a job, you get up in the morning, your alarm clock goes off, your comforter is warm, you realize as an adult, I have to become uncomfortable to get out from under this comforter and to go get myself ready to go to a place I don't want to go and to spend some time there while you're working that day. There are times we have to be uncomfortable. And there are times in our Christian experience that we have to be uncomfortable. It's just part of the Christian walk. And so this morning I want to minister a comfortable distance, and I want to take a look at the life of Peter. Many times we look at Peter as being the one who denied Jesus three times, and that's true. But as well, Peter was the one who excelled in the things of the Lord beyond all of the other disciples. No, nobody really could keep up with Peter. He began to have spiritual truths and spiritual realities play out in his life that far exceeded the other disciples. And when you're growing in grace and you're growing in the knowledge of God, there are times that you realize you're growing. How many's ever experienced that? Something occurs in your life and you realize, wow, I didn't know that was in me. That's God did that in me. And there's nothing wrong. That's a wonderful thing if you can realize that you're growing. That's a wonderful thing. And so I want to begin by just looking at Peter's life as some of the high water marks in his life. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Now, this may seem like he's asking, you know, let's put Jesus to the test to figure out who he is. But in reality, Jesus asked the question to find out how much his disciples understood. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 15, I'm skipping a verse down to 15. Jesus then asked his disciples, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning just thanking you for your goodness, thanking you, Lord, for the many blessings that you bestow upon our lives each and every day. We'd ask you now, Lord, as we receive our offering today here in the worship room across the online experience, that you would bless those families that support and that hold up our hands as we attempt to propagate the gospel around the world. And Father, I come to you and I ask you that you would use me this morning, speak through my lips, use my faculties to speak to your people. God, I ask you for the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and lives, bring conviction upon us. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. So Jesus asked the question of the disciples, who do you say that I am? All 12 of the disciples heard. But we find that Peter is the only one that spoke up. His answer was 100% right, and it was a dual answer. He, number one, he said, you are the Christ. You are the long-awaited-for Messiah. You are him. Now that was right, but then he added to it another right answer. You are the Son of the living God, which means that Peter recognized Jesus as deity. Now, none of the other disciples had that answer. He was absolutely right. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood, nobody told you this. The creator of all things gave you a personal revelation in your heart. And it's exactly spot on. Man, that's good. When you get the Son of God telling you what you got from the Father was exactly right, that means you passed that test. It means you hit that right on the head. And so Peter, as he starts out, he's excelling. He's progressing in the things of God. And then on top of that, Jesus said, you are Peter, Petra. And upon this rock of revelation that you got, I'm going to build the entire New Testament church. How many know that's an A+? He's doing good. And in parallel, sometimes you and I, as we grow in grace and we grow in the knowledge of God, sometimes we can have great victories in the Lord. We can take great advancements, coming closer to the Lord, being more like Jesus, doing the things that he's called us to do. And we should do that, and we want to do that. And then as you turn to chapter 14, and this is actually, I have these backwards, this is actually a few weeks earlier, here's what happened to Peter. Jesus is walking on the water. The disciples are in the ship. And Jesus says, be not afraid, it is I. And in verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now let's slow down before we put Peter on the water. Let's slow down. All 12 of the disciples are in the ship. All of them are looking out at Jesus walking on the water. But Peter is the only one that was in such a place that he said, Lord, if that's you, then bid me come walk with you on the water. And Jesus said, come on. He didn't say, come on, Peter. He just said, come on. All of them could have got out the boat. All of them could have stepped out on the water. But Peter was the only one. When he came down out of the water, the scripture said, out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now get this, not only is he walking on the water, his focus is absolutely square. I mean, it's absolutely straight. I've got Jesus on my mind. I've got Jesus on my heart. Yes, I'm walking on water. I'm walking in a place of impossibility. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at Jesus. That's another A+. Now, these two events happened perhaps as short as days apart, but no more than maybe a week or so apart. He walks on the water, then he gets a personal revelation from God. Peter is excelling. And this is really what our Christian experience should be. We should always be excelling. If you're not growing, you're backsliding. You're not standing still. No, you're not. There's no such thing as pulling over and parking in the kingdom of God, because when you attempt to do that, the course of this world, it just pulls you back in the opposite direction. And so all of us should be seeing a progression in our life, a growth. If you measure your life by how often you come to church, you're not growing that much. Because much of growth happens in your private life. Outside of the church walls. You should come, you should hear the word, but much of your growth, you only hear an hour a week. If you only grow an hour a week, man, that's not much growth. And so we see Peter now. Peter realized he was growing. He realized, I believe, that he was excelling past the other disciples. I can imagine Peter, as he got down out of the boat, he's walking to go to Jesus, he looks over his shoulders, and everybody else is still back in the boat, scared to death. You realize when you're experiencing growth that other people around you perhaps are not experiencing. And we know that Peter understood his growth beyond the other disciples, because we find in Matthew 26, verse 33, It says, then said Jesus unto them all you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will not I. Now we kind of laugh about this. You know, Peter had the big head. But I want to make clear, Peter was excelling all of the other 11, even John. Nobody, only one other person in the human race walked on water other than Jesus. His name was Peter. You can search throughout the whole New Testament. It never says as plainly of any of the disciples, all the way through the book of Acts and through the epistles, that this revelation you got was exactly from the Father. It came from the Father. It's not said about any other of the apostles at any time in their ministries. So Peter realized that he was growing. And so when Jesus said, all of you are going to be offended, Peter said, wait a minute. Man, I'm growing in grace and the knowledge of God. I don't believe that's going to happen. I mean, you've seen the way I've been growing. You've seen how I've been advancing. Though all men will forsake you, Lord, yet will not I. And of course, we understand Jesus gave Peter a preview that before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. My point here today is that Peter was doing everything right. He was growing amazingly. In fact, he was more like Jesus Christ than any of the other disciples, because none of the other disciples walked on the water. None of the other disciples got a personal revelation straight from the Father into his heart. He was more like Jesus Christ than any of the other disciples. But then, as you know the story, the arrest came. And things took a turn, an unexpected turn. And I'm sure you've read this story many times. We know that Peter ultimately will deny Jesus three times. But that's not where the problem started with the denial. That's not where it started. The problem started in Peter following afar off. The scripture, in fact, says in Mark chapter 14, we'll go back to Matthew in a minute, Mark 14, 53, it says, they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders of the scribes, and Peter followed afar off. Now think about it in your mind. What could make him now follow so far away? Well, he's watching the brutality. He's watching the arrest, how they're treating Jesus Christ. And so what he's following far enough away that he can see what's happening, but I don't want to get any of that on me. It's a comfortable distance. It's a distance far enough I can see what's going on, but I can also maintain my comfort. And here's what I came to tell you today. You and I do the exact same thing all the time. I can see Jesus' prayer life, and I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm following far enough away that I don't get any of that prayer life on me. I understood that he was a man who fasted, and I love the Lord, and I'm following Jesus. But I'm making sure I keep enough distance between me and the Jesus life that none of that gets on me. It is at this point that we see Peter's absolute growth take a nosedive, and it begins to descend dramatically and quickly. And I warn you this morning, having made many mistakes in my own life, backslid at two different times in my own life, the greatest danger to a Christian is not your personal sin. It's our desire to be comfortable in our Christian experience. I love the Lord. I don't mind following Jesus, but, you know, I love my hobby. My hobby. It just gives me calm. It just gives me comfort when I'm able to do my hobby. Satan will use your hobby to rape you. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. He will use that that you love, that that you find comfort in, to absolutely destroy your life, destroy your marriage, destroy your career, and destroy your walk with Jesus Christ. And we allow him to do it because we're going for the comfort, not realizing it's the worm on the hook. I use this analogy many times. It's the old Three Stooges commercial. I mean, their old program where they say, slowly I turned. Step by step. And that's what happens. We follow Jesus from a comfortable distance. And Satan uses that area, that distance, to wreak havoc in our lives. It says that Peter followed him afar off, making sure that no part of this sacrifice would impact him or his flesh. He followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants. Stop right there. The servants are the men that came and arrested Jesus, who shackled him to bring him to Annas, the high priest. They are the very ones who served the effort of Satan to arrest Jesus. And now all of a sudden, Peter, who at one time was walking on the water, is now with the servants. He's taken up the exact same position that Judas Iscariot took up just a couple of hours earlier. Jesus came in, the Holy Spirit inspired the gospel writers to put it, Judas stood with them. He no longer stood with the disciples. He had been separated and he stood with those arresting Jesus. Now we see Peter taking up the same posture. Where did it all start? Did he have malice? Did he have anger? What was in his heart? You could have asked him right here. He would have told you, I love Jesus with all my heart. But yet, he followed from a comfortable distance. That's a danger for you and I, saints. How many know that Satan is always working against your mind? I mean, he's constantly whispering in your ear, and sometimes he'll yell. And sometimes he'll cause something to flash before your eyes that catches your attention. He's doing everything that he can to take advantage of any distance between you and Jesus Christ. And within just a few moments of time, Peter, unaware, he finds himself, he's standing with Satan's servants. And he warmed himself at the fire. Isn't that amazing? So these are the men that arrested Jesus, that bound him up to bring him to Annas. And Peter, within just a short amount of time, because he made a decision, I don't want to follow that close. If I follow too close, I might get the same thing Jesus is getting. I might be associated with him, and the world might hate me the way it hates him, and I might get the same thing he got. But I'm telling you, saints, come out from amongst them, my people, and be you separate. Amen. Leave the world alone. They are going to hate you. So what? You can be a member of the world. You can go and be a member, be part of the world. They still hate you because they're inspired by Satan. But now Peter, he stands here. He warms himself by the fire, and none of the people there realize the water walker is right beside us. The only other man that walked the water. The man in whose heart God gave personal revelation beyond all the other disciples. Now he has fallen to this place simply because he was looking for a comfortable distance from the Lord. Here's something about the Holy Spirit. Try to remember this. He's always doing one of two things in your life. He's pulling you in, or he's pushing you out. It's always one of those two. Nobody stands still. There is no static position in the kingdom of God. My wife and I was talking yesterday and something unexpected fell out of my mouth. We were just talking and I said, listen, if a person is not striving and struggling to get closer to Jesus, they done already lost. You know, I'm sure you can look at me and I'm on the stage and it seems like I know the whole Bible and it seems like everything's well. Listen, I'm fighting Satan every hour of the day. Every hour of the day, I got to bring my body into discipline. I got to bring my mind into discipline. It's not a cakewalk. And so if you're looking for comfort in Christianity, you're reading the room wrong. Oh, listen, let's do this. How many has to fight Satan every hour of every day? Jesus says, strive to enter in. It's not nobody just waddling in, man, I've got this, I've got it made. This is a struggle and a fight for every last one of us. Every last one. There is no comfortable place in your Christian experience. Now, there are times of great joy. There are times of exuberant praise and worship for the Lord. Yes, there's wonderful times, and I cherish those, and I love those. But there are also times I didn't want to get up yesterday morning and come down and pray. Friday morning, I didn't want to get up. I came in, I don't know, 4:15, 4:30 Friday morning to just spend some time with God. And when I woke up, guess what? I was under the comforter. It was warm. It was nice. And I could have used another hour. You know, when you get old enough, you can always use another hour. But then there's the realization that I'm not called to be comfortable. I'm called to be faithful. I'm called to walk with Jesus. And so you fling the comforter back. You get out in the cold. You wash your face and you head to the house of God. Jesus, because I love you and it's dangerous being far away from you, I got to be closer. There's no comfortable distance you can walk with Jesus Christ. Get it out of your mind. You're always going to have to push yourself. You're always going to have to bring your body into discipline to walk with him. Because if you don't, first it's a comfortable distance. Then it's a larger distance. Then it's a distance that you can neither see nor hear Jesus anymore. He's too far away. Now, having had two horrible backslides in my 30 years, 40 years of walking with the Lord early in my salvation, you can get to a place that you can't get back by yourself. I'm just getting real for you for just a moment. You can get to a certain distance away from God. You can't get back by yourself. You're not strong enough. All you can do is sit in that horrible ditch. Bah. And wait for the great shepherd to come and find you. All you can do is call out on the name of the Lord because you can't do it by yourself. We don't have that strength within us. And here's something about the personality of God. Depending on how rebellious you were when you got in that ditch, sometimes God would take his good time. Just because you're crying doesn't mean that God is moving immediately. Omnipotence can afford to wait. For me, one time, I'm not making this up, 7 years. I'm crying out, God, I'm in trouble. I need help. 7 years. And I mean, my life is going down, 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 down. I'm at death's door. And my toes are curled over the lips of hell, just like that. That's where I was when finally the Lord pulled me out with a mighty hand. But that didn't happen in one day. I was looking for a comfortable distance that I could walk from the Lord. I'm going to heaven. Everybody thinks I'm doing good. The externals don't reveal the internals. But the distance that I had from the Lord was too far. And it ended up in that situation. First, he stood with the servants, the devil's servants. Then he warmed himself at the fire. Now, incidentally, they were warming themselves, the scripture says, because it was a cold night. And as Peter was warming himself at the fire, Jesus was being beaten by some of these same servants. Now, if you've ever just like been working and maybe scraped your knuckles on you know, on something under the hood, just scraped your knuckles on something and it kind of hurts, you know what I'm talking about? But when you do it on a cold day, it intensifies. And so while Peter's warming himself with the devil's servants at the fire, Jesus is at the whipping pole in the cold being brutalized. It doesn't take that big of an effort for us to be moved away from Jesus Christ. We started looking for a comfortable place, but just time and circumstance moves us further away from Jesus than we ever intended to be. He warmed himself at the fire. It was a strange fire. It wasn't the fire of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a fire where the conversation was that which it would have been when Jesus was with the disciples, perhaps talking about the kingdom of God or talking about whatever Jesus had brought up. It wasn't that type of fire. It was a fire where rude and crude soldiers were making jokes and saying things perhaps that they should not have been saying, and Peter was right there amongst them. It all started because he wanted a comfortable distance. Peter, the rock, the man with the personal revelation from the Father, the water walker. Now he's at a strange fire. Oh, saints, it can happen to you and I. It can happen to you. There's some in this room, it's already happened to you, to some of us. And nothing but the grace of God that brought us back. But if it hasn't happened to you, or if you're in the midst of it happening to you, come back to him now. Close distance on Jesus Christ. Beef up your prayer life. Beef up your study life. Here's something about this book. I don't like to use this term. I don't have a better one. This book is magical. In that you can sit down and just read it. I don't mean read a verse like the Precious Promises. I mean read a gospel. And man, it just does something to you on the inside. It just pulls you closer to the things of God. I recently, and I've been mentioning this, I wrote a commentary on the book of John. It took months to do it. It was the most blessed time because every day, hours just moving forward slowly in the scripture, looking at all the nuances, looking at everything that was occurring, it just blessed my soul. That's how you stay closer to Jesus. Stay in the book. You stay in the book. I'm not talking about read a verse. Put the book in your belly. I'm saying read a gospel. Read an epistle. Read it slow. Understand what you're reading. Absorb it. Absorb it within yourself. Jesus said, except you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. And the Word was made flesh. And the Word was made flesh. That means you eat this Word. And listen, saints, I know it, I don't always want to read the Word. Sometimes I'd rather play a video game. We got any Call of Duty people in here? Okay. Sometimes I'd rather, you know, play a few games. But there comes a time, and I've come to a place that I realize I cannot afford to go to hell over Call of Duty. Can't afford that. I can't afford to come in and not be able to let God use this vessel and feed God's people over a moment of a little hobby or something that a million years from now, we won't even remember it. I can't afford to do that. And so the comfortable place, I have to get uncomfortable. And put the mouse and keyboard away and pull out my Bible software and begin to search the scriptures, because in them is eternal life. Saints, I come to tell you that this morning, there's no comfortable place. Now we find from this place forward, I don't have time to continue in Matthew, but we find that there was a little servant girl. The Bible says she was a maiden, which means she was from 12 to 16, maybe 18 years old. She comes to the big fisherman, and she says privately just to Peter, "Were you not one of them?" He says, "I don't even know this guy." Yeah, he followed afar off, and now he's here. I don't even know him. The second one came, and now he's not talking to Peter alone. He's talking to the servants and everybody. He says, you was with him. And if you read one of the other gospels, guess who that person was? It was Malchus, whose ear Peter cut off. He said, you was with him. I saw you. Bro, you cut my ear off. Peter said, no, I'm not the one. You're mistaken. It wasn't me. And then the third time, they said, you was one of them. Your speech betrayeth you. And Peter began to curse, meaning that he was cursing down, he was calling down curses from heaven upon himself if he was lying, knowing he was lying. Let God strike me dead right now if I'm lying. And he was lying, and he knew it. And the cock crew. And just by the power of the Holy Spirit, as Peter heard the cock crow, and he turned like this, and Jesus looked him right in his eyes. The scripture says he went out, and he wept bitterly. That is the destination for everyone who tries to follow at a comfortable distance. You're going to weep bitterly. I can remember many times during the 7 years I was away from the Lord. I would sit at the end of my bed with my head in my hands and I would just weep because I was in trouble and I couldn't help myself. I couldn't just come back. It's too difficult. You can't do it. And the Lord left me there weeping for 7 years to teach me. I learned the lesson so well. I mean, I learned that lesson well. You don't let any distance get between you and Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you today. What a dangerous game we play when we try to follow you from a distance in which we don't get any more Jesus upon ourselves. No more of a commitment has to be made that we're comfortable, Lord, with our little church attendance, little reading of a verse here and there. God, we don't come closer to you. I ask you right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'd bring conviction upon every heart, begin with mine. Lord, that we not follow afar off, that we not find a place of comfort within our Christian walk. But, oh God, move upon us that we strive to enter in at the straight gate. That we strive, that we struggle, that we tussle, that we fight, that we struggle to move in closer to you. Come on, would you stand to your feet all over the room this morning? Just stand to your feet. He loves you. He loves you. He's not left you. He's not left you, but he's warning you, don't leave him. And if you've already left, he would say, return unto me and I will return unto you. Come on, right now, all over the room, just ask Jesus to help you. God, I'm too far away. I want to be closer, but God, I'm weak. I have no power in myself. So I ask you, oh God, that you would motivate me, that you would move me. God, in moments that I might seek you in prayer, in moments that I'm wasting my time, I might seek you in the study of the word. Oh God, move upon my heart. I don't want to be too far away from you. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning, won't you? Just reach out. He hears your cry.
Lord, we need you this morning. We need you each and every day, God, to help us. Lord, we just ask that you don't give us any peace or comfort in being anywhere outside of your will for our life. We thank you, Lord God, for the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, God. Just give us strength to surrender to it. And as you draw us closer to you, Lord, you said if we draw closer to you, that you would draw closer to us. And we thank you for that. And we lift all of these requests up to you, asking that your holy and perfect will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I needed that word this morning. I needed that. I was just sharing in the women's ministry yesterday how the Lord blessed me with a new job a few months ago, and it has taken up so much of my time. It's taken time away from my family, but more importantly, it's taken time away from my time with the Lord. And the Lord strongly convicted me of that. And this message was just confirmation that no matter what it is, it may be a hobby, it may be a habit that you're trying to hold on to. It could be something that God bless you with, like a spouse or children or your job. But we can't allow anything to take the place of God in our life. Amen. He said to seek him first. Seek him first. And so I pray that you were blessed by that message this morning, and you make a decision in your heart that you're going to turn your life and your heart back to Jesus today. Amen. If you haven't given already, please do so. We definitely need your support. Thank you once again for everyone who made a sacrifice to give and bless those children in that family in Pakistan with the new van. There are food baskets available for members and friends. And then the last announcement is that Christ Unveiled will be hosting a barbecue on Saturday, May 3rd. It is for Christ Unveiled members and spouses and children only, but you're welcome. And may the Lord be with you throughout this week, go before you and bless and cover you and your family until we see you here again. In Jesus' name, be blessed. You are dismissed.